That is really one tough pill to swallow, looking at those kids suffer like that. Speaking about kids, do you know that millions of children worldwide experience some sort of traumatic experience? Childhood trauma isn't something you just get over as you grow up. In fact, it can lead to a number of problems well into adulthood if the trauma is left untreated.
Did you know child trauma is more common than you think? 14 to 43% of children have experienced at least one traumatic event in their lifetime. Common sources of traumatic event include child abuse and neglect, serious accidental injury, disasters, experiencing of witnessing violence in neighborhoods, schools, and homes. After a crisis or traumatic event, a child is at risk of developing traumatic stress. About 25% of victims develop depression or anxiety disorders. Children are more vulnerable to trauma because of their size, age, and dependence.
Today we're going to be tackling that problem on the Press Plus show. And to help us tackle that problem, we're going to be joined by Jenna Barton, a medical doctor. Now, we're going to be asking her some questions. We're going to ask her how she feels, and of course, we're going to ask her opinion. She is an expert. Hi, Jenna. Welcome to the Press Plus show. How's everything, Jenna?
Everything is great. Thank you. Thanks for having me back on the show.
It's our pleasure. Jenna, let's get right to it. Tell us, what is your opinion about the facts?
Well, the only thing I would like to comment on is just to reiterate those points that trauma is relative and we can be very insensitive as human beings, and that because I perceive something in one way means that you should perceive something in that way too. And that's obviously completely not the case. We should be forgiving with each other. We should ensure that we recognise trauma in other people, and that can be through any, if they're talking about flashback symptoms, if you notice that they suddenly start to become quite anxious or a bit low in mood, maybe do harbour some anger. Alternatively, you need to make sure that they also get help. So it's not just about recognising the symptoms, but then get them to the GP, get them to a doctor, help them talk to somebody, maybe some counselling might be appropriate, and don't leave them to try and cope on their own. That's no fun for anyone, and it's a sad way to live. You know, trauma does affect all of us at some point in our lives. We're all expected to suffer with trauma, so we should try and be forgiving and recognise that a trauma view is different to me. That would be my take-home message.
Let's get right to it. Jenna, what exactly is trauma?
What is trauma? Okay, so most of us consider trauma to be a really distressing event. It's something that's happened that we find painful. But that's actually the real definition of trauma. The real definition of trauma is actually something in which we feel unable to cope with. So it's something that our resources, whether it be emotionally or physically, we're unable to actually take in, comprehend, and be able to cope. And like I mentioned before, that can be something very, very different for different people. Some people have emotional trauma, some people have psychological trauma, and some people have physical trauma, which is a little bit more easy to comprehend because physically you'll actually have maybe a mechanism of injury or actually a scar or wound, something like that. People can actually see it. When emotionally you've been traumatized, it can be more difficult to actually appreciate because it's something that's internal that the person is feeling. There's a wound and a scar that has been left, but we're not actually able to visualize it.
Now, Jenna, I have one last question for you. I've heard that childhood drama can actually influence a child's personality or actually affect their future as they grow up. Is that true? And if so, can you elaborate on it for us, please?
My opinion about trauma is that people don't appreciate just how relative it is, and that I might find something traumatic, you might not, and vice versa. And that we can be quite unforgiving as to what trauma is for one person and another. And I also don't think people realise the impact of trauma. If someone suffers a childhood trauma or even a trauma later in their life, for years and years and years after that event, it can continue to cause problems for that person.
Okay, Jenna, anything else you want to tell us?
No, that's all from me, and we're going to pass over to Samson.
Thanks, Jenna. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Hi.
Here's how you can help traumatized children. Identify trauma triggers. Something you are doing or saying, or something harmless in your home, may be triggering your child without either of you realizing it. it is important to watch for patterns of behavior and reactions that do not seem to fit the situation. Be emotionally and physically available. Some traumatized children act in ways that keep adults at a distance, whether they mean to or not. Provide attention, comfort, and encouragement in ways your child will accept. Younger children may want extra hugs or cuddling. For older youth, this might just mean spending time together as a family. Protect the child. Do not hesitate to cut short or stop activities that are upsetting or re-traumatizing for the child. If you observe increased symptoms in a child that occur in a certain situation or following exposure to certain movies, activities, and so forth, avoid these activities. Get professional help. Treatment from a mental health professional who has training and experience working with traumatized children can reduce child traumatic stress and minimize physical, emotional, and social problems. Did you know, suicide is the second leading cause of death among 10 to 24-year-olds. 24% of high school students have seriously thought about attempting suicide. Every day, 14 young people, ages 15 to 24, commit suicide, or approximately one every 100 minutes. While girls are far more likely than boys to attempt suicide, boys are four times more likely to die by suicide than girls. Ingestion of pesticide, hanging, and firearms are among the most common methods of suicide globally.
Now we're joined by Sarah Powell, a consultant and art psychotherapist from the UK. Hello, Sarah. Thank you for joining us on the Press Plus show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Okay, Sarah, we're going to get right to it. Tell us what you thought about those facts.
You know, research suggests that teen suicide is a problem in most of our communities. It needs to be talked about. We need to learn how to address it appropriately and try to see what's going on a psychological level. You know, what is underpinning this phenomena and how can we better support that as a societal challenge? How can we better support that as, you know, as a society and within our communities effectively?
Okay, Sarah, thank you so much. Sarah, now what we're going to do now is hit the streets of Tehran. We're going to see what the people think, and then we'll get right back to you. Farid, over to you. So why suicide?
Yeah, it's complex. I think modern day is stressful, and I think that children, adolescents are exposed to much more, the stress levels are higher. There are many different reasons which can contribute to a person feeling so helpless and thinking that that's their only way out. Mental health is something which is typically in most communities is regarded as stigma, but I think, you know, shows like this, talking to youth, is really important to gain their perspective on why they are tending to have darker thoughts or even contemplating or sadly committing suicide.
Okay, Sarah, how does society take responsibility for change?
Yes, well, I think the very fact that we're talking about it is the first step. I think in terms of suicide or even talking about suicide, typically there is stigma that surrounds that, which is why a lot of people that may have suicidal ideology, they don't tend to come and confront and be able to share about these thoughts and maybe intense emotions, and they're feeling overwhelmed. They might not share that with peers, they may not share that with their closest friends and family members, perhaps because of, you know, being afraid that there may be stigma or consequences to that. So I think it's very important that we open a dialogue as a community. We think of channels to support them. So how do we help somebody who has suicidal ideology? Early intervention is key. There may be warning signs there that we see that somebody is withdrawn, totally socially withdrawn. It's not really communicating. Their sleeping habits might have changed, eating habits, they're not engaged anymore, they're totally emotionally overwhelmed. So these are some of the warning signs, and if we address that and we provide structures in place to support them on an emotional level.
Sarah, thank you for joining us on the show today. It was truly our pleasure. Anything else?
Yes, I think we should pass the show over and get some more tips from Samson.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. Take care.
You're most welcome. Take care, too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Here are the ways that you can help a teen who is suicidal. Ask questions. Talk to your teenager directly about suicidal thoughts. Ask him or her if they have ever wished to be dead or if they have been thinking about hurting themselves. Many times, medical attention is not sought after a suicide attempt, and parents may not be aware that their teen has attempted suicide. Share your feelings. Let your teen know he or she is not alone and that everyone feels sad or depressed or anxious now and then, including mums and dads. Without minimizing his anguish, be reassuring that these bad times won't last forever. Things truly will get better, and you will help get your child through counseling and other treatment to help make things better for him or her. Be encouraging. Help your teen come up with a list of coping strategies he can do on his own to help him not act on suicidal thoughts. This may include physical exercise, listening to music, reading, watching a funny movie or TV show, doing something creative, or doing something relaxing. Promote safety. Know where your teenager is and who she is with at all times. Be familiar with your teen's friends and their parents. Monitor electronic communication, for example, Facebook, texting, and be willing to communicate with your teen via text. Did you know? More than 90% of kids play video games. More than 90% of games rated E10 plus or above contain violence imagery. Males are more prone to video game addiction than females. Compared to violence in video games, repeated exposure to television violence may actually be more harmful to children. Repeated exposure to TV violence makes children less sensitive toward its effects on victims and the human suffering it causes.
Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the Press Plus Show.
Oh, hi. Thanks for inviting me on.
It's our pleasure.
It's
Andrew.
Good to be here.
Great. Andrew, what did you think of those facts?
Well, actually, you know, there's a lot of contentious research, really, because actually it actually points to the amount of time being spent on the games rather than the actual content being significant. Although, you know, exposure to some violent content can be linked to aggressive behaviour. So that's with games. But with film violence, the actually research actually suggests that media and film violence may be more influential to games. So obviously it's going to affect the children if they're immersed in this environment.
Does violence in video games and media inspire violent behavior in kids today?
Well, I think, early exposure and actually non-age appropriate content can actually have an effect with children. So, you know, the amount of time they also spend on games can be an important factor just as much as the content. So I think that parents must be really attentive and engaged and interact with their children rather than just, you know, doing the video games and media.
Okay. Are violent TV programs really going to affect a child? You know, I hear, hey, violence is really bad, especially on TV and things like that.
Yeah, as mentioned earlier, sometimes media and film violence may be more influential than games. So best TV moderation could be a good thing for learning, you know, in education and helping develop language and the natural world. But too much of it, say 4 hours a day, you know, can lead to more sedentary lifestyles, and violent programs on TV can lead to aggressive behavior and fears about the outside environment, because the child is kind of learning the environment through the filter of the media content, and it might actually be an unrealistic way that they view the world, and it can actually be, they can start having fears and anxieties.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Is there anything else you want to say?
Thanks a lot for being here. Of course, we do have some more. Hey, Samson, give us some tips.
So how can you, as a parent, set those boundaries in your own kid's life? Check the ESRB rating. The entertainment software rating assigns age and content ratings for video games and mobile apps. It offers a list of helpful tips for parents who want to ensure the kids' playing time is appropriately managed and safe. Activate parental controls. Most devices today feature settings or controls which parents can activate to manage what and how their children play. Depending on the device, you can block certain features like in-game purchases, access to the internet, location tracking, or games by their age rating. Limit exposure. Keep track of what they are watching and playing. As kids get older and as they move between multiple screens, their exposure to media violence can add up very quickly. So it's best to set clear time limits and then actively track and manage all the ways that your kids are exposed to media violence. Play with your kids. Don't be afraid to play video games with your children and download apps that they're talking about. This can make for great family time and a good way to learn about the games that they are playing and apps they are using. It may also lead to informed discussion with your children about which games or apps and features are appropriate.